There's a weekly meeting that happens at Seattle's Harborview Hospital, and everyone in the room has one thing in common. They're all missing a part of their body. Everyone there is an amputee. Some lost their limb years ago, and for some it's been just a few weeks.
I was hit by a drunk driver. She was 2.5 times drunk, blackout drunk.
I tangled with the dump truck. He kept my arm. I am 2 inches above the elbow.
I lost my leg, my left leg, above the knee.
I was in a horrific boat accident on July 4th, 2015. Their boat launched over the top of our boat and their propeller severed my arm.
My pelvis was broken, my back was broken and detached from my spine.
The way I lost my leg is I was attacked by a shark. I was stand-up paddleboarding in Hawaii, and tiger shark just bumped me off my board and grabbed my leg.
It's easy to see the downside of these losses, but at the heart of the conversations that happen within the group is a determination not to let this physical challenge hold them back. The sessions are led by a retired nurse, a woman named Dee Malko.
I'll let you start over on this side, maybe.
I'm Michael Freeman from Tacoma. I've been an amputee now for 22 years, going on 23 this August. I was crushed by an 8-ton truck in a loading dock across the pelvis, and they took me out to Madigan, did emergency surgery, gave me a drug called heparin, which is supposed to thin the blood and reduce clotting. Turns out 1 in 100,000 people were lethally allergic to heparin. I turned out to be one of those lucky stiffs, so to speak.
Due to the complications caused by Michael's allergy, he ended up losing one of his legs. He spent 2 months recovering at Harborview.
And I met this miracle person here at Harborview. I cry every time I think about it. This person came in and handed me a bunch of literature and says, this is what your life's going to be like. This is what you need to be doing, exercises you need to be doing, what you need to be doing. And I looked at her and I says, what gives you the right to tell me what my life's going to be like? She looked at me and said, well, and she reached out and took her leg off and says, because I am one. That was D over here. I'm sorry.
The woman who surprised Michael by casually removing her leg is the group's leader, Dee Malko.
Let me tell you just a couple minutes here of who I am. I am Dee Malko, and I was in a boating accident also, Vicki. There was no drinking, but the fellow was going too fast for coming to pick me up after I'd fallen off the water skis. And so he went to turn to miss me, and the prop hit my leg, and it sliced it all the way to the hip. And I was grateful that they were able to save as much as you've got, David. It took some doing because I got an infection below the knee, and they didn't know if they'd be able to save it. It's a short level, but works good.
I'm Nick Barabee. I'm from Tacoma, Washington. I had my left leg amputated below the knee because of diabetes. I'm currently in a rehab home. I'm learning how to walk with a walker. The first year I gave up, I didn't get out of bed, lost a lot of weight, just basically wanted to die.
That is a normal feeling, very normal, because, boy, we had all our parts before,
yeah.
And to all of a sudden, bam, something's not there, maybe several.
It's like the fellow in there who said, I wanted to die. But then they start seeing there's some other people making it. This isn't what I had in mind for my life, but this is giving me a small vision of what could possibly happen. So they hear or see somebody, even for myself when I would walk in the room, I don't walk with a limp. And so they get a vision of looking normal again.
Troy West, I got in a fight with a log truck,
and
it drug over me,
whoa,
34,000 pounds, and it was going to take me in, and I basically broke this heel, my left heel, to pull my leg basically off to save my life. My wife was a little scared, and she came to the hospital, and she goes, you realize what happened? I go, I knew it was gone in the woods. I go, the best thing I can tell you, pedicures were half off for me.
Yeah.
So, and I told my boss, if you want to hire me back, you can. If not, I'll go to work at IHOP.
if you take it too seriously, it's going to be a lot harder for you.
You got to be upwinded. So I was, and it hasn't stopped me since. So that's true.
Humor kind of lifts you out of the mud. It's there's humor in everything. These stories you heard today are beyond tragic. You will go so much farther, faster with humor.
Do you find yourself burdened by having to make able-bodied people comfortable around you?
Some days I get tired of it, to be truthful. But most of the time, I think it's a privilege. You want to make people understand you're not a creepy person, you're not weird, you're not a freak, you're a regular person who's had an unbelievable experience that you survived. And to kind of let them know to be comfortable about that. I think that came up in dating a lot. I was single at the time, and I know one guy told me, he says, don't bother you, I guess it shouldn't bother me.
Yesterday I had someone looking down at my legs, you know, your skin is so smooth, what kind of lotion is that? And I said, I don't, it's not real.
That's Catherine Martin from Seattle. She's 55 and definitely a glass half full type person. She does not miss a chance to laugh at what might make other people fall apart. Catherine has type 2 diabetes, and a wound on her foot was slow to heal. It got infected, and doctors had to remove her left leg.
The first day after I got out of ICU, they said, you're going to amputee support. And I had never been in a hospital before. I was really quite shell-shocked. I was still pumped up on the meds, and they wheeled me in. I was afraid. And there was somebody who was just really jazzed up, had a souped up wheelchair, and just had a lot of life in him. And he kind of tapped me on my leg and said, it's going to be all right, girl. Everything's going to be good. I didn't know any of these people. I didn't know what was going on. And it just kind of centered it to that no matter what's going on right now, and I get past this, it's going to be good again.
Those connections that form in the support group have only gotten more important to Catherine. That's because she discovered that many of her friendships weren't as strong as she thought they were.
One of the biggest things I didn't realize is that a lot of people who'd known me my whole life said they didn't want to see me like this with the amputation. I had people who said that they would wait until I got a leg to see me. I have people who've known me my whole life, well, know me for 41 years. And have not seen me since my amputation. And I was really stunned because I felt like I'm the same person morning, noon, and night. I just didn't realize that they loved me so little. That was huge for me. Because it never occurred to me to not be around somebody because they were missing a limb.
Back in the weekly meeting, the conversation covers a lot of topics unique to this group. They talk about how they deal with phantom pain, the sensation of feeling pain in a part of your body that's not there anymore. And for the people in the room who are missing legs, the discussion turns to the hazards of falling.
Once you're down, you really get over it. Because you think, oh, I can't fall. And if you do, you just let it go, and it's like you catch air, and then you just kind of bounce a little bit, and then you get up from there after your head stops rattling. But you just have to kind of let it go and not clinch up, because that's when you end up hurting yourself. But I've fallen in like the worst spots, like the crosswalk in front of Harborview. And you know, you're so over yourself. There is no more embarrassment.
I was going up some concrete stairs and the toe of my shoe got caught on a stair and I went down so hard and landed directly on the edge of my stump, and the bone of my stump is right there, and it's just skin is the only thing that covers it. So when I hit, I broke the end off of it. That sucked.
Besides these very practical matters, the conversations can get deeply personal. Catherine Martin has been coming to this support group for 7 years, and as an amputee veteran, she says she feels called to be a role model. Like the person she met in her first meeting, who let her know that everything was going to be okay.
I hope that when I talk to them, that they feel hopeful and capable. And I want them to kind of see the possibility that you can have or do anything with some adjustments that you want. And I don't say, I'm out here doing this so people can feel this way. I have no control over how people feel. I just hope that when I leave them, that they feel just a little bit uplifted, you know?
The Amputee Support Group will celebrate its 40th anniversary next year. Founder Dee Malko has written a book about her experiences here. You can find out more about it at our website, knksoundeffect.org.